tonight. It's good to see everybody. Here we are in the dog days of summer. You know, I'll tell you what, we're going to blink and it's going to be November. We'll blink again and it'll be 2025. I mean, it's just hard to imagine that we're almost halfway through this decade already. Wow, praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Amen. We're just going to turn in our Bibles over. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. And tonight, I'm going to call this message, Pass the Test. Pass the Test. And we last week, I taught a message called, The World Will Soon Be Shaken. And we're going to go real quickly. We're just going to do some review. We're going to go over there to Hebrews chapter 12. And we are going to start in verse 25. Praise the Lord. And we're going to do a little bit of review. And tonight we're going to talk about how to pass the test, meaning how to pass the test during these trying times that we live in. Well, I tell you what, some interesting days that we're living in. Amen. We might as well, the tests are going to come to this world. We might as well just go ahead and pass them. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 25. Real quickly, we're just going to do some review, and then we're going to move on because it's going to sort of connect to last week's message. Praise the Lord. Brother, would you mind going ahead and turning off that fan there for us? Boy, there's a rushing mighty wind up here. You know, it's a blowing, and I just don't think it's the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure what it says on that machine. I think it says Lasco. Lasco. So I don't think the Holy Ghost was ever given that name before. Praise the Lord. And so last week we taught a message called, The World Will Soon Be Shaken. And we get that from Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 25. It says this. It says, See that you refuse not him that speaks. Talking about Jesus. It's talking about the difference between Old Testament Jews and New Testament Christians. Remember in the Old Testament, God spoke to Israel from Mount Sinai over there in Exodus chapter 19. Remember, he spoke to them on that mountain, and when he spoke, his voice shook the earth. Remember that? But now the Bible says that we're not just listening to God speaking from earth. He is now speaking to us from heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says this, See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they, the Israel back there in the book of Exodus, for if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. How many of you know the Lord is speaking to us every single day from heaven? This Christianity is a relationship with the Lord that we hear his voice. You know, we're not here to just, you know, follow rules. Christianity is not just a set of moralities. You know, we know this, that Christianity is to hear the Lord's voice, to be led by his Spirit every single day. Amen. Let's not refuse him that speaks from heaven. And then it tells us this in verse 26. It says, Whose voice then shook the earth? Meaning at Mount Sinai, back there in the Old Testament, when the Lord spoke, his voice shook the earth. It says, But now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shall not shake the earth only, but also the heavens. If you study that out, it says heaven in the King James. It's not talking about the heaven where God lives. It's talking about the skies and the space over the earth. And God says there's coming a day when he will shake the earth again. And this time it will shake also the heavens or the stars, the moon, the sun, things like that. Folks, in reference, we saw this last week, that this is talking about when Christ returns. How many of you know that Jesus is coming again? Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? I believe it. And, you know, the Bible says Jesus himself likened his coming to a woman who is about to give birth. And as a woman is about to give birth to a child, she has contractions, or literally shakings in her body. And literally those contractions will become more frequent and more intense as that child gets ready to be born. Jesus said that the earth in the days of his return would go through birth pangs, not pains, pangs. It means literally a shaking. We know that these things start to cast their shadow before they fully arrive. Folks, I truly believe that we are getting very close to the days of the Lord's return, and we're starting to see the earth shake in many ways. Now, shaking isn't just a literal shaking, though that will be included as well. Yes, there's going to be earthquakes. Yes, there's going to be natural disasters. But when it's talking about the things that will be shaken, it's talking about all the things that are man-made. Look at verse 27. It says, "And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken or moved, as of things that are made or man-made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." So verse 27 tells us why the earth will be shaken. It tells us that God is looking to find out those things which are sincerely His, the things that are of God will remain, and the things that are just man-made will not remain. They will be shaken or moved. Basically, the earth is going to shake to find out who is truly on God's side and who's not on God's side, right? Folks, you know, and of course we see in this next verse, look at verse 28, it tells us that we have received a kingdom that is immovable, which cannot be moved. Do you see that in that verse? Folks, is there anyone here that you're part of the kingdom that cannot be moved? Folks, that's exactly right. When the earth is shaken, when we see all these things come to pass, the governments of this earth will be shaken. Economies will be shaken. You know, we're going to see wealth systems, political systems, you know, man-made religion, even doctrine of man is all going to be shaken, right? And it's going to be a testing to find out that which is real and that which is not. And so the scripture is telling us we want to be part of the kingdom that cannot be moved. Folks, these are the days that we should be sold out in our hearts to the Lord, that we should be obedient at all costs. It's not about our church's name. It's about us having a personal, deep fellowship with Jesus. We're going to know Him. We're going to obey Him. Because as we see the earth shaken, the only things that are going to remain are the things that are truly of God. Everyone's home is going to get shaken. Everyone's personal life is going to get shaken. Everything's going to be shaken. But if we are sold out to the kingdom that cannot be moved, we won't be moved. Amen. Let's be of those that cannot be moved in these last days. God is looking to show who is sincere and who is, you know, walking with Him and has His strength in their lives. Amen. And so we took a look at this last week, and we know that we're going to be part of that kingdom that is not moved. Praise the Lord. Folks, are you ready for anything and everything? Are you ready to understand that the world around us is going to come and go, but we're going to be the ones, meaning not family church, I mean born-again believers, you know, born-again believers and other wonderful churches in our community, around our nation, around the world, those that are sold out to God are not going to be moved. Amen. But if we're always looking at the world, if we're always looking for our answers, you know, somewhere else, well, then we might get moved, right? Don't be part of the world that's going to be moved, right? Amen. Now go with me real quickly to Isaiah chapter 59. This was the other verse we went to last week. Go to Isaiah 59 and verse 19. And we know that when the world is shaken, the enemy, the devil himself, will try to take advantage when the world is shaken. We know that the enemy will try to come in and he will try to convince us to lower our standards. And it says this over here in Isaiah 59:19. It says this, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun in the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a what? A standard against him," or literally this, a higher quality, or a higher level, all right? He says He will lift up a standard to cause the enemy to flee. But folks, we know this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the enemy is going to try to wear us out. He's going to try to wear us down. How many of you have felt at times the enemy is coming in like a flood, right? You know, upon our nation, certainly right now. Upon the world, certainly right now. upon a lot of people's lives right now. And, you know, so many times when we feel that pressure, the first temptation we have is not to up our standard. The first thing we feel like doing is lowering our standard. You know, it's real easy when life gets tiring, life gets difficult. We feel like, yeah, let's just do less for God. Let's pray less. You know, I'm so tired in life. There's so many distractions, so much that I have to do, so much going on in the political arena, so much going on in the economic realm. All of a sudden, we start to just coast with God. And all of a sudden, we're praying less. All of a sudden, we're in the Bible less. All of a sudden, we stop serving in the local church. All of a sudden, we stop giving. All of a sudden, we stop attending services. All of a sudden, we start to lower our standard with God. But he says when the enemy comes in like a flood, lift up the standard. Lift up. You know, the word standard here, it means an example for others to see. Right? I'll tell you what, our world needs some really great Christian examples, right? I tell you, I believe we got a room full of them right here. And when the world, you know, when the world gets tough, people are looking for those that are standing against it, meaning that we're not being moved and shaken by all this stuff, that we lift our standard. We don't tell people, hey, just, you know, take some time off with God. We tell them, hey, stir yourself up, right? Put yourself in a place where God can bless you. Amen. And so this is what we were talking about last week. Now, today, we're going to talk about how to pass the test. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's talk about how to pass the test. We're going to just get right to it. You know, originally when I was planning this sermon, you know, I thought I'd give you a list of at least 3 or 5 things. But let's be sober here tonight and realize that I'm probably only going to get to the first one, all right? Because we've been here before, right? We know what happens. And I'm going to just make this direct and concise and right to the point. You know, go over there to 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to start in verse 11, and we're going to read down to verse 15. Let's read about the test. Now, in context, Paul is talking about those that minister the word of God in the local church. But it also applies to every single one of us because there's many scriptures that talk about this same thing that includes every Christian, all right? And so whether you're a minister or not, this will apply to each of us. He says this in verse 11. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the only foundation that God will accept. Amen. Jesus Christ is our foundation. And he says, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation of Jesus." So notice, how many of you know a house is not complete just because there's a foundation? How many of you know there's a lot to be built on top of that foundation? However, that house is worthless without that foundation. All right. And so he's talking about us. He's talking about the standards that we choose to live in our life when we build this Christian life after we've made Jesus our Lord and Savior. Is there anybody here that has Jesus as their Lord and Savior? All right. Well, then you have the foundation of Jesus Christ, and now each of us are supposed to build on top of that. And so we got to ask ourselves, how are we building? What are we building? And what does God want us to do? What standards do we apply to our life to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ? It says this, "Now if any man build upon this foundation of Jesus, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble." Well, that's a big difference there. Gold, silver, precious stones, and then wood, hay, and stubble. Boy, there's a big couple of categories there. Big difference. And look at the next verse. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. So there's coming a test, and it's called the test of fire. Now, verse 14, it says, if any man's work abides or survives, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I want to be rewarded. How about you? I want to be rewarded for the life that we build upon the foundation of Christ. So notice God wants to reward us for building correctly. So notice you can build correctly upon the foundation, or you can build incorrectly upon the foundation. Look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice you can be saved. Boy, is everyone here tonight? Yeah. Oh boy, we're going to say the quiet part out loud here. You know, where a lot of people don't want to talk about these days. But notice you can be saved, but your life's work can be totally burned up. Meaning there's going to be people that are going to show up to heaven. Now, thank God that they're in heaven. Because now these are talking about people that are Christians like you and me. We've made Jesus our Lord and Savior. But those people that do not burn, or excuse me, that do not build correctly, all of a sudden all of their life's work is burned. And they show up to heaven with nothing built upon the top, right? They show up with only a foundation, all right? Folks, I don't know about you. I don't want to be in those shoes. I do not want a lifetime that could have been in the service of Jesus Christ to be tested by fire and then to go up in smoke and have it all be worthless. Folks, it is possible to lead a life that will go to heaven, but the life's work can become worthless very, very quickly. I don't know about you. The Bible says if any man's work shall be burned, meaning if it's tested by fire and it burns up, that person will suffer loss. You say, well, Pastor, how will that person suffer loss? Hold your place in 1 Corinthians 3. Go over to 2 Corinthians 5. Let me show you what it's talking about here. The Apostle Paul is talking about the coming judgment seat of Christ. Pastor, I just wanted a happy little message here tonight. I just wanted it easy. I just wanted something frilly and with a poem and real simple. Well, this is simple in terms of understanding. It shouldn't be hard to understand. Look at over there, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Actually, start in verse 9. Folks, you know this is talking to Christians like me and you. All right? This is not talking to the lost. This is talking about Christians. It says, wherefore, wow, look at this verse. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Wow. Folks, how many of you know God does not accept every lifestyle? He does not accept even every Christian's lifestyle. How many of you know there's a way to please the Lord and a way to displease the Lord? How many of you know God's got a standard? He does. I know it's tough to hear, but he has a standard. And look at verse 10. Folks, I'm not reading these verses to make anyone scared. I'm reading these verses to stir us up. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 10. It says, for we must all, every Christian, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, or literally while they were on earth in their body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. Folks, how many of you know even for us Christians, there's a reckoning day with the Lord? And our work that we've built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ is going to be tested with fire, and God is going to find out what we were building with. Now look at verse 11. Oh my goodness, this is in the New Testament. Pastor, why do you show us these verses? Knowing therefore, Paul saying, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, woo, we persuade men. Paul is saying, he says, as an apostle, he says, I know what a bad thing it would be to step before Jesus someday and have your work burn up before him. He said, I know that it would be a terrible thing to have that happen. He says, and now because I know that that could happen, I'm just trying to persuade you. I'm trying to influence you to make sure that you stir yourself up and that you keep your standard high for God. Because folks, we are living in the days right now where everyone is being tempted to lower their standard for God. Make it easier. Take a break. Start coasting with God. I'm here to tell you that our work will be tested with fire. We will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. We will give an account for what we've done as Christians in this flesh and blood here on this earth. Amen. Are you here with me? You say, Pastor, where are we going with this? Hold on. I'm going to show you. Go back over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. Go back over to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3:12, where we started reading. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Do you notice a big difference in the kind of materials there? What is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones? That represents things that cannot be burned up. It represents us living a life with things that have eternal value. Folks, we are supposed to build upon our lives with things every day that has eternal value. Does mercy have eternal value? Yeah. Does the love of God have eternal value? Does the local church have eternal value? Does obedience and faithfulness and loyalty have eternal value? Yes, it does. To obey God, to do what He says, to follow His word is building upon your life with gold, silver, and precious stones, that which cannot be burned. But what must the wood, hay, and stubble be? Those are all things that are just going to burn right up. It's the things that are going to burn right up. Those things that are going to burn right up are our offenses, how disgruntled we are, how offended we are at people, our arguments and our judgments against other Christians. All that stuff is just going to burn right up. You know, our immorality, you know, choosing to live a life that is immoral is just going to burn right up. Disobedience, all of a sudden we could find ourselves standing before God and we watch our life's work just burn right up. Folks, do you see that God has a standard? God says, I don't want you building with wood, hay, and stubble. I want you building with gold and silver and precious stones. How many of you know in heaven God doesn't have, you know, God doesn't live in a log cabin. You know, I mean, I say that kind of in humor. But, I mean, we see it, you know, God is making a point here. He has a standard. He has high standards. And no, that's not to make us guilty or to condemn ourselves. But it is for us to stir ourselves in our heart. Folks, when I read this passage, I've been meditating in this passage for weeks. And I've been taking this passage to prayer and I say, Lord, I want to build right. Lord, I want to build right. I want to live a life that has eternal value. I want to minister to the people in a way that has eternal value. And I tell you what, if you keep going to God with that heart's desire, He's going to show you what will have eternal value and what won't. Are you here? Amen. I'm showing you this because the Lord has a standard. God doesn't just say, hey, as long as you just do something. It's quiet in here. You know, sometimes it just feels like if we, you know, we get tempted in this, well, if I just do a little something for God, you know, as long as I just do a little something, then that'll be fine. Folks, we don't receive Jesus Christ just to do a little something. We receive Jesus Christ to do only the things that He's called us to do. Amen. To be fully faithful. Oh, boy. I get a lot of people that get upset with me when I preach this kind of thing. They think that it's legalistic. They think that it's, you know, religious. They think that it's, you know, too harsh or something like that. This is not harsh. This is God saying, hey, I want my body, the body of Christ, to lift their standard and not just try to take it easy with God. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, our work will be tested by fire. Oh, Yeah, and I was going to show you, of course, you know, we think of, where is that over there? Philippians. Bring up this verse for me, brother. Bring up Philippians 3:13. We'll read verses 13 and 14 up here on the screen. Brethren, Paul the Apostle says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or Paul saying, I haven't arrived. If Paul the Apostle says that he hadn't arrived, I'm pretty sure I haven't either. Anybody else that has not arrived fully? Right. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm reaching forward unto the things which are ahead. Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the what kind of calling? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice this calling that we have with the Lord, it's not a low calling. It's a high calling. There's a high standard. Amen. Praise the Lord. And folks, I'm going to say some of the things that we don't want to hear. We don't want to say these things. But there are some things that following Christ requires. Are you here? Yeah. When we follow Christ fully, let's face it, it's going to require our effort. It's going to require our time. It's going to even, you know, test us financially. Yeah. Following Christ means that we will have to crucify our flesh. Following Christ fully means that we're going to have to deny ourselves at times. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:38? He that does not bear his cross and follow after me and deny himself is not worthy of me. Woo! We don't like to hear that. Folks, we're going to have to deny ourselves. When I came to Christ, there was things that I knew that I just had to deal with, I had to face in my life. I was a heavy drinker. You know, I was big time into alcohol, getting drunk and all those things. And I realized that I had to deny myself those things. I remember, you know, smoking, cussing. I had to deny those things and confront them in my life. Amen. How many of you know following Christ is going to require us to judge ourselves? It's going to require us to sacrifice some things. Following Christ is going to require a high level of character, morality, and integrity. I know, we don't want to hear these things. And this is the opposite of this just go easy approach. Folks, Jesus is worth it. Paul is saying, do you see what Paul is saying here in Philippians 3:14? He says, I am always pressing, but I'm pressing towards something that I never fully get to. Folks, he didn't say, well, I better just hang back, take it easy, only have one foot into the church, one foot out. He said, I'm constantly pressing towards the mark. That means there's effort, there's time, there's denying ourselves, crucifying the flesh. I'm pressing towards Christ, even though I feel like I never fully make it. Folks, that is not guilt. That is not condemnation. Folks, that is a good thing to always say, I fall short, but I just keep pressing towards Him. I keep pressing. Amen. Now, let me show you how to pass the test. Now, go back to, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right, go there to verse 12 again. Now, for the sake of time, I can tell you we're only going to get to one thing. But it's the most important thing. How do we pass the test? Number one, remember your foundation. Remember your foundation. What is our foundation? Or maybe I should say, who is our foundation? Jesus is our foundation. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about this, all right? I truly believe I've seen this as a pastor. I've seen it for the last several years especially. The enemy is subtly moving believers off their foundation. They don't even see it happening. And this picture comes to mind. Have you ever been watching the news and you've seen those floods out in the Midwest? You know, every spring when the Mississippi River floods, you ever see those houses that all of a sudden just float off their foundation? And you always see that one house cruising down the river. And you first think, my goodness, I hope nobody's in there, right? And you also think, man, those people, they just lost, they're watching their house float down the river. Your heart goes out to them. And then about 5 seconds later in the video, that house just gets swallowed up and crumbles. Maybe it hits a bridge or something. Have you ever seen those pictures? That's a house when it has been floated off of its foundation. And that's a picture that comes to my heart when I think I see believers that are very subtly being lifted up and floated off their foundation. And all of a sudden they get away from who their foundation is. All right? All right. Praise the Lord. Is everybody ready for this? Here's the point we're getting to. If you're going to pass the test, if your work is not going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ, here is what you need to know. All right? We're going to get right to it and say it plainly. Stop living from what has happened to you, or stop living from the place of what somebody has done to you, or what troubles are happening to you. Start living from what Jesus Christ has already done for you. For you. Folks, I am watching so many Christians. They are living from a place of what someone did to them, or something happened to them, or somebody did something to them. And see, if we start living from this place of what somebody or something has done to us, all of a sudden we don't realize we're being subtly moved from our foundation. We're supposed to live from the standpoint of what Jesus Christ has done for us. For us. Hallelujah. The enemy will slowly get your thinking focused on what others did to you, what troubles happened to you, and that will only lead you towards offense, resentment, bitterness, fear, doubt, clouded judgment, malicious speaking, emotional turmoil. I'm just giving you some examples here of what happens when we start looking at what happened to us. Folks, there's two kind of believers, you know, that we're talking about here tonight that we can be. You can be somebody that sees life as what has happened to you, or you can look at life seriously at, you know, in the way that, you know, what Jesus has done for you. Think about all that Jesus has done for you. What someone did to you is not nearly as powerful as what Jesus Christ did for you. Praise the Lord. You say, well, what are you talking about? What Jesus has done for me? We're going to talk about some things that Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. The enemy will slowly get your thinking focused on what others or something has done to you. It could be the loss of a job. It could be somebody turning on you or saying malicious things about you. It could be, you know, a financial trial. It could be, you know, something that happened, somebody that hurt you. The enemy will always try to get you looking into your past. Because when you are into your past and what you're thinking, when you're thinking what somebody could do to you, you're not thinking about what God has done for you. I'll tell you what. Absolutely. I'll put it this way. Looking at what someone or something did to you is destroying what God can do for you. Let me say that again. Looking at what someone or something did to you is destroying what God can do for you. Yes. But if you will continue looking at what Jesus did for you, it'll give you hope and encouragement of what God will continue to do for you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Can you bring up Romans 8:32 for us? I'm going to just keep saying this, and I'm going to give you examples. I see Christians, they're talking about, oh my goodness, Pastor, you don't know what happened to me way back there. Guess what? Whatever happened way back there means nothing. If it's way back there 5 minutes ago, it means nothing. Jesus Christ wiped that clean. He made you a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Christ also freely give us all things? God wants to provide every need. He wants to move strongly on your behalf. But if you're obsessed with something or somebody that did something to you, you're not going to remember what God has done for you. And for you is that he spared not his own son. Hallelujah. Why don't we all just jump into this together here? Why don't we just take some notions from the class here tonight? Are you ready? Just start shouting out some things. Who's got something? Name one thing that Christ has done for us, biblically speaking. We know that we all have separate blessings in our lives. We have marriages and children or whatever it is. We have jobs and we want to give God thanks for that. But biblically speaking, let's start just naming a few things that he has done for us. Someone give us one. Salvation. Amen. He delivered us from your womb. He is the reason why we were even born, right? Amen. Absolutely. Someone said salvation. So we could say this. He shed his blood. Just go ahead. No hands needed. Just shout it out. Healing. The Bible says by his stripes we are healed. So he has shed his blood. He has washed us from our sins. He has healed us. Glory to God. Just go ahead. Throw something else. He has crucified our flesh. We are risen again. Boy, we're all just shouting so many things. And that's the point of this. He's done so much for us. I wrote down some things on a list just to bring it all together for us. He shed his blood for us. He washed our sins away. What does that mean? He made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We can stand in his presence. We can go before him without being condemned or being inferior. Amen. He made us worthy to stand before God. I have this one on my list. He healed us. He carried our griefs and our sorrows. He put the blessing of Abraham on us. He gave us eternal life. He's given us heaven. Hallelujah. He made us brethren. He let us sit down on his throne with him. Hey, how about this one? He delivered us from hell. Think about this. I mean, we have got so many things. We have eternal hope. We are the partakers of the covenant. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. The Bible says that, do you not know that we as Christians will judge angels? Folks, think of all these glorious things that he's, when the trumpet blows, he's going to rapture us. He's going to give us a new heavenly body. He's going to remember our sins no more. He washed our past. He's given us freely all things in Christ. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our refuge, our strong tower. Amen. I mean, we could... Hey, how about this one we didn't mention? It's on my list. He delivered us from fear. Yes. Hebrews 2:14 and 15, he delivered us from the fear of death. Yeah. He took, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he took the sting out of death. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is thy sting? No sting in death for the Christian. Right. Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Wow. Not that I'm looking to do that tonight. Right? None of us are, right? We got to fulfill our plan here on this earth. But folks, has he done some great things? Yes. This is the point. Do you feel even the faith level in this room even going up as we just talk this way? Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. The devil will always try to weigh us down and destroy us with something that happened to us, so that we stop talking about what Jesus did for us. Think about what a foundation does for a building. It keeps it going, keeps it standing, keeps it strong, right? Our foundation is Jesus Christ, who is immovable. He is indestructible. He cannot be sunk. He cannot be destroyed. And folks, this is What I was just demonstrating a few moments ago is exactly what each of us need to do. We need to take our focus on what's happened to us. Folks, has anyone ever had anything negative happen to them? Anyone had anything negative happen to you recently? You ever had somebody, you know, do something to you or maliciously attack you or insult you or, you know, whatever it is, or gone through a financial trial, a trial in your body? Have you faced anything ever? See, what happens is it's very easy, and I'm seeing believers do this. We start to just move our focus over to what has happened to us. And all of a sudden, when we are focused on what has happened to us, we are not focused on what Jesus did for us. Absolutely. When we get so focused, and I'm seeing it, and what it is the enemy just trying to subtly move us off our foundation. You know, what has he done for us? He's given us his brothers and sisters together. He's given us a local church. He's given us pastors and teachers to be strengthened. Amen. Praise the Lord. We could just keep going on. We have the blessing of Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. We're joint heirs with God. I mean, just we're worthy to stand before him. Now, the point is, this is what we do. Remember our foundation. All right. See how we all started. I mean, we had people lifting hands, shouting out answers. What if we did that in prayer? What if we did that? Honestly, this is something, you know, obviously the word, you know, makes it very clear that we remember who our foundation is. But this is something, just honestly, these last few years, this is something that I've just learned from necessity. All of a sudden, you know, realizing that, you know, things that have happened and things that people do and the attacks and all the trials that have come on people, you know, I notice this. I go into prayer and I just start telling the Lord all that he has done. Lord, you shed your blood. You died and you rose again. You made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. You carried my sickness and my disease. Lord, you carried my griefs and my sorrows. Lord, you have washed me with your blood. You have remembered my sins no more. You have given me a heart of flesh. You have made me a son of the covenant. You have given me the promises of Abraham. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation in God. Hallelujah. He delivered up Christ so that we would have all things freely. And I notice when I just start telling him what he's done for me, all of a sudden, I'm not concerned about who or what has done anything to me. The reason what Jesus has done for us is to wash away anything that anybody has ever done to us. Anything that has ever happened to us that would try to bring fear. The Bible says that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Yeah. Folks, I told you that this would be a clear and concise message of how to pass the test. Tell God every day what he has done for you. And when I say that, I mean the Bible reasons. We all know our marriages are from God. Our kids are from God. Our income, we're grateful. We got a roof over our head. We're grateful. We're grateful for every meal that we eat. All right, folks, this is the high standard of God. To go before him and tell him all that he's done for you. Folks, really, I mean, just the list that we've even given out tonight, I mean, it just takes a few minutes. But I'll tell you what, if we allow ourselves to drift, you know, off the foundation and only focus on what has happened to us, he's going to try to destroy us. The enemy will try to destroy us through what has happened to us. Our lifeline is what Jesus has done for us. Are you getting any help here tonight? Yes. Praise the Lord. Well, when you look at what Jesus did for you, absolutely. I have seen this in my life. It is 100% biblical. It is true. When I go before the Lord and I present myself, you know, before him, and I sit there and talk to him about all that he's done, when I bring up the covenant of Abraham, when I bring up, you know, all these things that we listed here tonight, all of a sudden, you know, first of all, the Holy Ghost just, you know, starts to come upon me, and refresh me. All of a sudden, my cares and my burdens just lift. Because when you start boasting of the Lord, your burdens and your emotional struggles will just lift right off of you. Glory to God. Amen. That's casting your care. All of a sudden, and I wrote some things down. When you are sitting there talking about what Jesus does for you, all of a sudden his mercy starts to flood in on you. All of a sudden you can forgive people you didn't think you could forgive. You can be merciful to people you didn't think you could be merciful to. You can be forgiving. You all of a sudden want to be more obedient. I'll tell you what, when I talk about all that Jesus has done for me, I'm not afraid of anything. Hallelujah. I am encouraged. I have hope. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I notice this, if I'm tempted to be offended and I go in before the Lord and start boasting on Him, I come out and I'm not offended. I'm not mad at people. I'm not disgruntled. I'm not worried about the world's economy. I'm not worried about our political situation. Folks, get your eyes back upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell Him over and over what He has done for you. Tell Him, Lord, You have washed me in Your blood. Lord, You died and You rose again. Lord, I thank You. You have made me the seed of Abraham. You have given me the power and privilege to be called a child of God. Father, I can stand before You in Your presence worthy because of the blood of Jesus. The old things have passed away. I'm a new creation. I'm just going to keep repeating these things. I'm a joint heir in Jesus Christ. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that has loved me. I am not afraid. I don't have the spirit of fear. I'm delivered from death. Glory to God. You'll come out. If you'll talk this way, if you'll pray this way, you're going to pass the test. Because there's only one way we're going to face these tests in these days, and we're going to pass it. And that is talking about our Lord and our Savior. Speaking and praying out exactly what He has done for us. So many times we talk more to God about what has happened to us instead of talking to Him about what He's done for us. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Is this your help? Is this my help? Yes, it is. It's not about what happened to us. It's about what Jesus did for us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just praise You tonight. We glorify You. Lord God, we thank You that, Lord, we know that You have a high standard. Lord, You said that every man's work would be revealed by the day and it would be tested by the fire. Lord, You said that every single one of us would stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, that You said that our work, what we build upon the foundation, that is Jesus Christ, what we build, what we do, the actions we take as Christians, the standards that we keep, the example that we set, will be tested by fire. And either our life's work is going to abide and remain and we will be rewarded, or it'll burn up and we'll suffer loss. Lord, we see You've got a high standard. Lord, You've got a high calling in God, in Christ Jesus. And Paul the Apostle said that he continued to press forward, to go higher, Lord, to seek You, to be fully obedient. We bless You, Lord God. And Lord, we know that that could be a challenging message. We know that sometimes we don't like to hear that stuff, but it'll save our life. Lord, we will be reminded of who our foundation is. We are not to be moved from it. Lord, we're seeing so many these days, they're getting more obsessed or more concentrated on what has happened to them, more so than what You have done for them. Lord, I'll be the first one to confess here tonight, I've done that. I have caught myself thinking and dwelling upon things, dwelling on what somebody has done to me, dwelling on things that have happened to me. And then all of a sudden that light bulb in my heart goes off and I start reminding myself and I start praying out to you of all the things that you've done for me. And then those things, those burdens, they lift. And Father, those burdens lift. And now we can forgive. And now we can be without fear. Now we can be encouraged. Now we can have hope. Now that we can have joy. Thank you, Lord God. So, Father, I thank you that this is a congregation that'll be more focused on what you have done for us than what anybody or anything else has done to us. Lord, we know if we're focused on just what has happened to us, it'll destroy what you can do for us for the future. Lord, you spared not your own son, but you gave him up. And Lord, you've provided all things freely through him. And Lord, we will never receive those things that you have for us if we're always looking at what happened to us. So, Father, I pray that this would be reminded, that, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would bring this back to our remembrance. Father God, we just bless you tonight. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Let's all ask ourselves that question right now in our heart. Have we made Jesus our Lord and Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'll speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll put your faith in Christ's resurrection, the Bible says that you will be saved. If you're here and you've never done that before, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or anything like that. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to know that heaven is my home. And I want to know that I'm delivered from hell. If that's you, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, with everybody else we'll be praying, you could invite Jesus into your heart. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody that would say, yes, that's me? Just take that step towards the Lord and lift that hand. I'd love to lead you in a prayer. Is there anybody that needs to be saved? I don't see any hands. Father God, I don't see any hands, but if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice has never made Jesus their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they would not leave this earth until they do. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are good. And we bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. We just give you the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go.